Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. I promise you we get you your Friday show up early. We do. Here we are. It's a Thursday evening. Tomorrow is a travel day, so I will be away from the message board much of the day because once I travel, I'm going to spend a little time with the fam out in Northwest Arkansas. But here we are. The show must go on. Happy to be with you here today. We've got a great show for you. Got a cool top 10 list. Talk a little bit about Arkansas. Look at the weekend ahead. You just never know what we may get into. You just never know where the spirit of the show may lead us. But in a good mood. Been a productive week for us over at jeanspage.com. Been a productive week at True Rest Float Spa Starkville too. I think she's floating 23 today. Think that's what she told me. Yeah, so it's a busy stretch for us, and you know, Mother's Day is coming up too, so be considering that as one of your options. First segment of our show brought to you by Bulldog Burger Company. Man, I love them. I love them more than a friend. I do. It's one of those places where it's just kind of part of how I live my life, man. I like to do business with winners. I like to frequent establishments that do things the right way, and that's what you get at Bulldog Burger Company. They have kind of championed the cause for great customer service in an industry where customer service has gone out of style. Everybody talks about service. Bulldog Burger Company is all about service. I always feel so well taken care of, whether I'm dining in or dining out. It feels like they care that I have a quality meal. It's not just hand me a bag and let me swipe my debit card and turn the screen around and say, it's going to ask you a few questions. I don't know who started that, but it's lame, right? I do tip well. I do. And I probably tip a little bit better at Bulldog Burger Company because I feel like great service should be rewarded. And that's what I get every time at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. They have not become an empire in the burger business by just giving you a half-measured effort. It is always a great experience. It has been for me for many, many years. That's the reason when you ask your kids, where do you want to eat? Let's go to Bulldog Burger Company, Mom. Let's go there. They love hamburgers. You love hamburgers. It's one of the fine delicacies we afford ourselves in life, that great restaurant-quality hamburger. I'm kind of craving a Pimentology ad bacon. Probably knock that out soon. I had a steak from the grill last night because I'm going to eat with us loyalists. Love it, man. Love it. That Caribbean ribeye is the best, man. It is. All that understood, Bulldog Burger Company is there when we need them. Have a lunch with work colleagues or a dinner out with family. You can have an adult beverage, get a full service bar. But no family night is complete without dessert. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's go ahead and get started with Arkansas. Looking forward to this series. And I don't think our friends in Arkansas are looking forward to this series. Now, we have not won up there since 2007. I say won, we hadn't won a weekend. We should have won the series in 2024. We blew leads on Friday and Sunday. And, of course, we won on Saturday. But we should have been able to get it done. We weren't. And they've kind of had our number. We didn't play them last year. But Arkansas, obviously, a commentary on consistency. Dave Van Horn has taken the Arkansas Razorbacks to the NCAA tournament every year. He's been there except for 2016, and that's a 23-year tenure. And I'm sure they'll make it this year. 2016, we swept them the final weekend series to capture the SEC regular season title. Maybe you've forgotten, but we did. Last time we celebrated an SEC title was with Arkansas serving as our opponents. Enabled us to break the tie with Texas A&M, who swept us earlier that year. And as great as that year was and as great as 21 was, there's always going to be that one weekend where things go wrong. We hope it's not this one, because I believe firmly that Arkansas is going to get this thing rolling And having a couple of wins over them will only help us in our quest to be a top eight national seed and make it to Omaha. The Razorbacks opened up the season out at Globe Life Field, played four games. The first three were part of the Shriners Children's College Showdown. They mercy ruled Oklahoma State, who went 0-3 that weekend. Kind of tough luck being the Cowboy these days. 12-2 is your final. Game two, they dropped to number 10 TCU 5-4. They bounced back and beat Texas Tech 6-5 in 11 innings to close it out. Productive weekend. They wanted to sweep, but I would say you look back and say you get two of three in these kind of specialized neutral site events. You feel pretty good about that. Well, they hung around for another day, and Dave Van Horn likes those Monday midweek games. They played Tarleton State. It was a tight one. They won it 3-1, though. And then they get a three-game sweep of Xavier in the first three games at Fayetteville. They handle that with relative ease. And then, just when you think Arkansas is ready to roll, they get trounced by Arkansas State 12-4. They bounce back on game two of a midweek series with the Red Wolves and win it 1-0. And again, just when you think they've got it figured out, then they drop the Friday game to UT Arlington. And you begin to kind of wonder about, offensively, what's this Razorback team look like? The lineup has not been nearly as explosive as many thought it would be. A lot of doubles hitters in that order. They do take the final two games on that weekend to win 2 out of 3. The final game was a 7-inning mercy rule effect, 11-1. They get Oral Roberts back on March the 3rd. That's a week ago this past Tuesday. And then they split a four-game series with Stetson. Again, Dave Van Horn loves the Monday midweek game. Gives them a chance to get an extra day's rest before the next weekend. And so that's happened twice this year. You know, Razorbacks rolled the first couple of games. They outscored the Mad Hatters by 20-2. Then dropped game 3-4-1. And we thought, oh, that's enough. No, but it wasn't. On Monday, the Hatters again win 6-4 to split the series. So now here we are. Here we are. I was part of the media call this morning with Dave Van Horn. Got a chance to ask a question. And he spoke a lot about Mississippi State. Said that they're going to use the same rotation and the same order that they have throughout the season. That means Gabe Gackel will be on the bump on Friday. Cole Fisher has been, the Sunday starter, and Hunter Dietz the Saturday starter. So that's the order we should see them. Gabe Gackel, 2-1 on the year with a 2.61 ERA. He has had a propensity to give up the long ball. Gave up 7 home runs last year, 3 so far this year. Struck out 27 and walked 6, and he is the guy that's going to be around the plate. I got a full breakdown of what we could expect from Gabe already up on the site at jeanspage.com, and it will come back, obviously, on Saturday and Sunday. There is a possibility of a Saturday doubleheader, but no, we have not heard any official word. And I'll be honest with you, it gets annoying, man. It does. I know you want to know so you can make plans, but trust me, as soon as we know, you won't have to ask us. We'll put it out there as soon as we – that's our job, right? Looking at Hunter Dietz, he's got a 2-1 record, 2.84 ERA. He's worked 19 per, given up 6 earned runs, 34 strikeouts against 5 walks. Has not allowed a home run this year. Batting average against just 194. And then Colin Fisher, 2-1 record with a 1.17 ERA. 23 innings pitched, just 13 hits. 30 Ks against 3 walks. Now, some of that you say, hey, Steve, look at the quality of competition. That's true, but they're still finding their way to lose games. And I think that's primarily because scoring has been a real challenge for them. As a staff, the ERA is 2.74. They got some relievers like Ethan McElvain, Mark Brissy, Parker Cole that have worked a lot. Jackson Kircher is another guy, too, that's gotten there and got some quality innings, but he's kind of had abbreviated starts. Jason DeCremer has kind of been the midweek starter of choice. You know, they dropped some midweek games, too. We won't see him. But, a good staff. Batting average against, just .199. So this is going to be the classic matchup of a great offense against what appears to be a great pitching staff. And again, they played some good teams early in the year. But I think if you go back and look, Oklahoma State, are they going to make the tournament? Probably not. TCU is. They lose that game, you know. But the rest of the competition after that initial weekend has not been great. And you look up on their 12-5. So there's a lot of Arkansas fans that are kind of down on this team. Now, Camden Koziel leads the Razorbacks with a .359 average. 22 RBI also leads the team. And it's a former transfer from Vanderbilt. He's not the most athletic fielder, but he is very good. He is very good. Doesn't strike out a ton. Walks a good bit. They got some guys out here that'll make you earn it, and he is one of them. Damian Ruiz, another guy that has made 14 starts on the year. No jacks for him, but he's got four ribbies and just kind of a punch and Judy guy, but he's a guy that kind of finds his way on base. 10 walks, a couple of HBPs, and another guy that doesn't strike out much. 9 strikeouts. 6 of 7 in stolen bases. Kahui Aloy. 15 starts for him, hitting .339. Got 3 jacks to his credit, 19 RBI. That's second on the team behind Koziel as far as ribbies go. Mike Naui, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, hitting .333. He's got 3 jacks and 18 ribbies too. And then there's Ryder Helfrich, hitting .328. 5 dingers and 11 RBI for him. But a team leading 18 walks. A lot of power hitters, you know, have a ton of strikeouts. He's got a dozen, you know, which is decent. But, you know, the on-base percentage is about .480. Reese Robinette's a guy that's done a good job for him, too, hitting .310. 18 hits on the year, 5 doubles, which is tied for the team lead. Just a 1 jack there, but 7 walks. 11 strikeouts. So you're not hearing a lot of strikeout numbers. And again, I think these are a team that's going to put things in play. Nolan Souza, some discussion about him today potentially taking over at shortstop. They're still working with him. He had shoulder surgery last year. He's just still kind of working through it. TJ Pompey is the guy the fans are really down on. By the way, Souza hits a .196. Pompey is the guy they've been really down on. A .188 is a batting average, but a gaudy number of strikeouts, 26. 26 strikeouts, which is 7 more than anybody else on the team. And then Carson Brombo is the guy, it's a utility guy. It's got 14 starts, but he's hitting a .156. No home runs to his credit. Yeah, we'll figure it out, right? Carter Ruddenbar is the guy they've talked about, is a guy that can kind of play some different spots. And Dave Van Horn did kind of mention they're going to find a way to get their best bats in the lineup. They'll sacrifice a little bit of defense for a little more offense. So I think Ruddenbar is probably a guy you'd expect. Zach Stewart, an outfielder, 9 games, 9 starts, but he is coming back from a groin pull. His straight line speed appears to be good. It's a change of direction that's been the real challenge for him. And they say as things begin to warm up, they hope he's going to be kind of in the middle of things. But they're hitting .296 as a team, which is not great, especially considering the quality of the competition. And again, you go back and start looking at these regulars. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Of the 9 regulars, all of these guys have started 14 games or more. You got 3 regulars that are hitting less than a Mendoza line. It's less than .200 for you young bucks who don't know the reference. So we talk all the time about teams that find a third starter and find production from the bottom third of the order. Arkansas is struggling in that aspect. Pitching has been good, right? But offensively, they're not where they want to be by any stretch of the imagination. They got 22 home runs as a team. And there's talk that the wind may be blowing in on Saturday and certainly Sunday if we get to play Sunday, which in the event that we can't, I'm sure we'll play a Saturday doubleheader. But again, we don't know. We don't know. But this is an Arkansas team offensively, right now, that does not appear to have a lot of superstars. Again, Koziel, that's a guy that we chased a little bit in the portal when he chose to go to Arkansas. It's been really good for them. But outside of that, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Financial stress affects far more than our bank accounts. It can take a serious toll on our mental health and our relationships. With 88% of Americans feeling some form of financial stress at the start of 2026, money worries often bring anxiety, sleep disruption, and even depression. It's also one of the leading sources of conflict between couples. This month, we want to normalize the emotional weight of financial stress and remind people that struggling with money doesn't mean they're failing. Sometimes it's just about accessing the right kind of support. Guys, there have been times in my life my debit card's been declined. You get that bounce check notice in the mail. It can be extremely stressful, and you kind of look at your partner. We're always looking for somebody to blame. Listen, we can't get you financial help, but we can give you help when it comes to managing the financial stress of it all. When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/boneyard. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/boneyard. There's only one or two guys you look at in that order and you say, this guy can really hurt me. They just haven't established that yet. And again, they're battling with some injuries. Everybody is a little bit, you know, we hadn't had Aiden Teal for a week, you know. And so that's a thing that we're all kind of dealing with. But this is an Arkansas team, obviously, that's going to be well coached. I would venture to say, like, my two favorite coaches in college baseball is whoever is filling out the Diamond Dogs lineup and then Dave Van Horn. Dave Van Horn gets a lot out of his team, a lot. What's interesting, too, is last year we talk about Baum Walker being such a great environment, and it is. It is. I would say people are like, oh, the best stadiums are either Baum or Duty. Nope. No, that's not correct. But as far as atmospheres go, you probably have a case. Arkansas may have a top five stadium. They certainly have a top three environment. I would say LSU, when it's rocking, is great, too. But the thing about the Razorbacks, they don't just wait for the NCAA tournament to turn out and do a great job for that team. It's going to be a sellout crowd this weekend. The hog pen's going to be on our outfielders. You know, that's just like our left field lounge guys are on opposing outfielders. They just don't feed us up there. But, yeah, this is a huge series for Mississippi State, not just because it's the first SEC weekend, and not just because of the fact it's a team that has had our number up there. They've had our number here a lot, too. Last time that we swept them was in 18 here. That was our last series win against them. We went up there 19 and got embarrassed. They came down here and embarrassed us in 21. We were set to play them in 2020 when they canceled the season. It was that weekend. And then 22, we weren't good, right? You guys know that. Yeah, 23, we weren't great. We got a game up there, though. In 24, should have got a sweep. Maybe it was 22 we got the game up there. I forget. They all run together after a while. But the biggest part of this, to me, is Arkansas has an incredibly favorable schedule. So they're going to be in the top quarter of this league when it's all said and done. Now, you'll never get their fans to convince you of that. But as we discussed, you know, when we got ready to do our preseason breakdown, we talked about how favorable the schedule is. And let's go back and kind of revisit that. Obviously, you get Mississippi State, it's your place. Then, next weekend, they head to South Carolina, a team that's really scuffling. And that's a ballpark, too, that kind of plays its way for doubles teams, you know. Then they get Florida coming to Arkansas. And, you know, Florida, of course, was a ninth-inning bullpen meltdown last weekend of getting swept by High Point. How will that team, in what appears to be a very fragile psyche, handle going to Baum Walker? Then Arkansas goes to Auburn, and those have been some really good series as of late. But Auburn, a really good team. That may be the toughest road series that Arkansas has, because the next week they go to Alabama, who I think is middle of the pack in the SEC. Then they get Georgia, who leads the nation in home runs. Or they did last time I checked. But Georgia won't go to Foley Field. They'll have to go to Fayetteville. So, again, you're working through this, and you begin to realize how manageable these road trips are and that your toughest competition has to come to your ballpark. Point in case, last weekend of April, Arkansas goes to Missouri. Then Ole Miss, who we all feel pretty confident in NCAA tournament team too, they got to go to Arkansas. Then Oklahoma comes in. And then Arkansas has to go to Kentucky to close out the regular season. And Nick's my buddy, right? But let's be honest, that atmosphere in Lexington when Arkansas comes in isn't going to be like it would be going to LSU. And again, run it back and see who they're not getting LSU. They're not getting Texas. They're not getting Texas A&M. They're not getting Tennessee. It's a peach of a schedule. And so this is where I think it benefits Mississippi State tremendously. I think Arkansas will probably end the year with the top 10, top 15 RPI. They'll still be in the hosting discussion. And so if you're Mississippi State, and you know we're serious about being a top 8 national seed, this is a huge series because of the fact when the RPIs are tabulated at the end of the year, having a couple of wins over Arkansas, who has that incredibly favorable schedule, really plays well into Mississippi State's resume. I'm looking at RPI right now. Do you know who the number one RPI team in the country is? Do you know? I won't make you guess. It's Columbia. That's right, Columbia. Not Columbia High School, Columbia. They're number one. Southern Miss is two. But as we get a little deeper here and you begin to kind of think about RPI and what it all means, and it's still way early to think about all this stuff. Excuse me, that was strength of schedule. My mistake. Let me flip over here to RPI. Southern Miss is your number one RPI team. Then it's UC Santa Barbara, USC. Then, okay, Texas. Florida checks in at 7, Auburn at 8, Ole Miss at 12, and then there's your Bulldogs at 14. Now, Arkansas obviously has some room for some upward mobility when it comes to this, and they've got some work to do. There's no question about that aspect of it. You know, I mean, like, you know, dropping to Arkansas State, that stuff is terrible. But right now, the Arkansas RPI is 98. You say, Steve, come on. Well, they lost 23 points, you know, when they lost to Stetson. But again, as you begin to work through that, and figure out how many top 25 and how many top 35 RPI teams are on that schedule, Arkansas will be a great RPI team provided they take care of business. Now, they may go in the tank this year. I don't expect that because it doesn't happen to Dave Van Horn. And so when you begin to calculate and say, okay, Arkansas will be an NCAA tournament team, the more of those we have victories against, the better off we're going to be. And to me, the bigger picture, like Brian O'Connor, you know, he's just going to sit here and focus on Friday. You and I can kind of get ahead. We can kind of get a 30,000-foot view of this thing and say, okay, here's where we are, and here's what we need to happen. We need those teams that we play to win ball games, to help us in the RPI. To give us an opportunity to be where we want to be. And, of course, we control our own destiny. But when you begin to factor how competitive it gets down the stretch and how hard it is to improve your RPI in the month of May, you need everybody helping you. And, again, when you begin to look ahead here, we're going to play a handful of teams, obviously, that are ahead of us in the RPI that can only help us. And this is one of them. I don't think Arkansas will end up ahead of us in the RPI. But I think it's possible. But I think certainly they'll be a top 20 RPI team. And to pick up two road wins over a team that will ultimately prove to be a top 20 RPI, I think it's just a tremendous opportunity. We're not going to Omaha yet, right? None of us are, you know, we're dreaming of it. But this is one more step towards that end. That's one of the most important things in all of this. You know, and it's so interesting to look over the years, you know, how consistent, you know, Arkansas has been. You know, we mentioned the NCAA record under Dave Van Horn. I mean, this is a team last year that, you know, was a fly ball away from, you know, playing for a bracket final, and they blew it. And man, I hated for that kid. Hated for him. Absolutely hate it for that young man. I mean, it's just a brutal thing the way it all worked out. But, you know, you go back and look at all this, you know, with Van Horn. You know, he won at Texarkana as a community college coach, got the job at Central Missouri State, and they won 51 games and the NCAA Division II National Championship. He was only there 1 year, and he was headed to Natchitoches. And Northwestern State, you talk about guys that have got a good eye for talent, right? They had Jim Wells there. They had Dave Van Horn there. They had John Cohen there. Yeah, great job of identifying coaches. But Northwestern gets him, and the very first year he wins the Southland Conference, the regular season title. Finished second the next year, and in the third year they win the league again and get upset in a conference tournament, so they didn't make a regional. But he goes 106-65. Then gets a job at Nebraska. And in five seasons at Nebraska, he goes to the NCAA tournament four times. And in 2001 and 2002, he makes the field at Omaha. So as his career has ascended, so has the level of opportunity. And again, good job by Nebraska identifying him as a guy, right? Didn't work out for him. But, you know, the reality of it all is that, you know, Dave Van Horn has won wherever he's gone. And the numbers, I mean, he and Brian O'Connor, very comparable when it comes to consistently putting rosters together that can make the tournament and then kind of shake some things up. And you go back and you look really, there was a run there with Dave Van Horn where they couldn't win a regional. You know, in 2004, they get to Omaha, but then in 2005, 2006, 7, 8, they couldn't get out of a regional. And some of that's because they were kind of middle of the pack in the SEC. They break through in 09, and then they go a couple years where they make a super, make a regional, and they're back to Omaha, make a regional, back to Omaha. And in 16, of course, they finished 7-23 in the league. 26-29 overall, the only year that he didn't make the NCAA tournament at Arkansas. That's it. And you start adding up the numbers here over the course of the last few years. I mean, let's just talk about what's happened since 2020. They won 50 games in 2021. They were the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, and they got upset by NC State in the Supers. 46 games in 22, make it to Omaha. 43 games in 23, they lose a regional. 44 games in 24, lose a regional. Won 50 games last year, went to the College World Series. Man, if you're consistently winning in the mid-40s, and then occasionally some things kind of pop for you and you get to advance and get to Omaha, eventually it's going to happen. Of course, we all remember what happened in 2018. We all know. Arkansas had it won. And Carson Shaddy overruns a foul ball that, if caught, would have clinched the World Series. They drop it, lose the game, and then come back the next day and lose to Oregon State. And, of course, the Bulldogs were eliminated by Oregon State that year in our most improbable run to Omaha ever. So this is going to be a well-coached team. I don't think it's as talented a team as Arkansas has had offensively. And I think that's been the challenge the last couple of years. Of course, you had Aloy last year who was a Golden Spikes winner. There weren't a lot of pieces around him, but there were enough. And they had just enough pitching, and they're so gritty on defense. You know, you kind of understand that. But I think this offense is kind of reminiscent of what they had in 24. And you remember that team, right? I mean, a team, we went in there and had every opportunity to take the series and possibly sweep it, and we blew it. And we felt like when we headed to Charlottesville to take on Brian O'Connor and the Virginia Cavaliers, we were paired up with the Fayetteville Regional. And when we left Fayetteville, I told you guys on this show, I said, I would love to get paired up with those guys again because we didn't have Connor Heisick that weekend. There were a couple pitchers we were short too, if I can't remember who it was. We didn't have Nate Dawn that weekend and one of our relievers. But we went up there a little bit handicapped and still should have won the series. And I think we all felt like, man, if we get another shot at these guys, we're going to get them, even if we have to go to Fayetteville. Well, then they get upset in the regional by Kansas State. So we would have hosted that super here. And I still don't think Virginia was better than us. Even though Brian O'Connor's our coach now, I'll still stand by that. We were the better team and those quad four losses killed us. But by the time we got to Charlottesville, we were playing pretty well. And give them some credit. We had a chance to force a winner-take-all regional final. We absolutely blew it. We absolutely did. But, again, I'm eager to get there, not just because of my family. I'm eager to get there because I believe right now we are better than Arkansas. And I think they believe that too. You know, they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. Think about that for a second, you know. And then you begin to factor in, you know, midweek pitching hadn't been great. In the event that they have a starter miss a turn in a rotation and you got to move your mid, got to move to Creamer to the weekend, what happens then, right? I mean, that's, there's just so many things can go wrong. I just don't think they have the depth, especially offensively. I do, their frontline starters are great, but, you know, they're working 5 and 6 innings a ball game. So if we can be in the game when Gackle and those guys get out of the game, and we can attack that bullpen a little bit, we got a chance to take this series. I feel confident in us going up there winning a game, and I'm very optimistic about us getting 2. I don't expect us to get 3. It's so difficult to sweep on the road in the SEC, especially a team the caliber of Arkansas with a head coach like Dave Van Horn. Like, if the game starts getting separated for Dave, they'll just go ahead and punt and stack for Sunday to ensure they get a game, right? They're going to do all they can to avoid getting swept. But I expect a very tight series, and I think the crowd is going to be tremendous. The Bulldogs got to get a quicker start, and I think our pitching rotation, obviously, it's the same as it was last 2 weeks. You know, McPherson, Belenkis, and Stone. I think those three guys are capable of going up there winning. We just got to get enough separation in the game that we don't have to stress the bullpen too much. And if Ryan Mack can give us 7, and then Ben Davis give us a couple, we get out of there with a double on Friday, that would really set things up well the rest of the weekend. But it's a one-day-at-a-time deal. We're all day-to-day. And we just want to go out there and win on Friday, and we'll figure it out the rest of the way. All right, time for our close with Blair Player of the Day, brought to you by Blair Chandler. My friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. That's his number just between us girls here. Save that number in your phone as Mortgage Guy. That way you will have a mortgage guy. And you may not remember the name, but you will remember the need. And so, you know what? I got a mortgage guy. Yeah. Whether it's your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair's the only name to know. Life can throw you a curveball or two. It can. So whether it's a relationship change, a job change, or maybe just something in your reality is evolving and you need to find a new place to live and store all your stuff, lay your head, cook dinner, Blair can do a lot of the heavy lifting there with you. Yeah. So be sure and check that out today, closeofblair.com. And maybe think about that game day condo you've been dreaming of. It may be more affordable than you think, so that's an option to pursue too. Maybe you want to consolidate some debt, get some cash out. Blair can walk you through all of that. It can be a very complicated and convoluted process. You need his 25 years of experience and know-how working for you. That's closeofblair.com. Our player of the day is going to be Reed Stallman. And let me tell you why. And it's not just because of the fact that he's mashing right now. It's because I think left-handed hitters have a real chance this weekend at Arkansas against that rotation, specifically Friday night against Gekel. Going to be some wind on Saturday, and if I remember the wind patterns correctly, that's likely blowing in, which may help us a little bit too. But Friday, I think, is a very important game, not just because it's the first game, but because of the fact it's going to be a little bit ahead of that front, and I think we can poke a few balls out there. Now, Gekel splits against lefties are worse than they are against righties. That slider is not nearly as devastating. He doesn't throw it as often against lefties. But lefties have been able to get barrels. You know Reed Stallman is a guy that they're going to have in the game plan, but because of the people we have around him, because of the fact that you've got Ace Reese there hitting 2-hole, then Noah Sullivan, and then there's Stallman, and behind him is the switch hitting Garrick Fry. I think Reed's going to get some pitches to hit. I don't think you can pitch around Stallman to get to Fry. Fry's among the most competitive kids on the team. I think Stallman benefits from that. I think Gackle has to go at him. I think he does, especially in innings where there's runners on base. And so I'm going to kind of pick Reed Stallman is maybe your player to watch this weekend in Fayetteville. I'm a Reed Stallman guy, very much so. And it's amazing. You know, so many people are so critical of that portal class. And again, Lamont has told me back this summer he thought Reed Stallman could have like a Connor Hyzak type year. Well, so far he's having it. He is. And when we took Reed Stallman, people were like, hey, Steve, he barely hits over 200. What are we doing here? Well, now you look at him, he's an indispensable part of our lineup. We even had him play left field the other night just to get his bat in the order. But there are times that Arkansas likes to piggyback off the righty and then stack the left-hander in the back, right? So if you go all lefties, they bring in that lefty, they could chew up your left-handers. So I think we'll see maybe a more balanced lineup to start, and maybe you work Blake Bevis in a little bit later. You know, we'll see how things go. But I think initially, at least the first two times through the order, you want to have some lefties. And that's where having some depth really gives you a competitive advantage because of the fact there's not a big drop-off when we get ready to make some substitutions. We don't have to sit there and work lefty-lefty matchup. We can bring Blake Bevis in. You bring Vitas Valenkas, right? I mean, you've got some other right-handed hitters you can bring in later in the ballgame. And because of the fact is you've got two left-handed right fielders, if you need to switch later, let's say you start Jacob Parker and then they bring in the lefty. Well, then you can have Vitas and then they go back to a righty. Well, you can bring in James Nunnally. And also James can help you defensively in those final innings. So that's what great depth and roster construction can do for you. We are not limited when it comes to that. So that's why I think Reed Stallman is your player of the day, player to watch in Fayetteville. All right, time for today's top 10 list. We get a lot of requests for Evanescence. And we actually did Evanescence, I don't know, 5 years ago. But when you guys make suggestions of bands we already done, I used to say we've already done it. Nowadays, I try to get a little creative where I can accommodate your requests, but also not maybe burden us with a repeat. So I wanted to jump into that. There is some guitar in this, obviously, as you hear all these notifications going off. It's so ridiculous, man. It is. But your top 10 list brought to you by Kalito Guitars, a Mississippi State-owned and operated guitar shop in Lake Jackson, Texas. They specialize in guitars, but they carry many stringed instruments. If you're looking for a banjo, a ukulele, a violin, a fiddle, really anything like that, they can procure that for you and make the dream of home ownership when it comes to a quality instrument a reality. They recently shared a review. Guy had been playing for years and years and years and wanted to get his dream guitar. And Daniel and those guys set it up with nylon strings exactly the way he wanted it. See, that's the thing about dealing with a guitar shop like Kalito Guitars. If you need something specialized or tailored to certain specifications, they can do it for you. And they're not going to charge you additional fees for doing it. You go deal with some big corporation like that, they're going to say, here's your guitar, good luck. That's just not the case, man. This is a guitar player's guitar shop. Whether you need gig bags, cases, accessories, strings, you can find it everything there. But the main reason you shop there is the selection of instrumentation. You can get a beginner guitar if you're just starting out. You say, Steve, I want to try it, but I don't want to make a big investment. I understand that. I was once there too. You can get a beginner guitar. And then as you begin to see your skill kind of take off a little bit, you need to upgrade your equipment, right? Because cheaper guitars, I'm just going to call it for what it is, they've got a little bit of a buzz to them. They do. But I understand not breaking the bank when you're first getting started. And so I would encourage you to do that. And then as you begin to excel, then you buy that intermediate guitar. Now, some of you play regularly. We got guys that listen to this show that gig regularly. Maybe it's time for you to upgrade to a pro grade model. You can get that Joe Satt original. You can get that Steve I original, which I have. And many, many others. visit the website, be sure and check it out. And man, I tell you what, when I go on there, which is somewhat regularly, I do some window shopping, and I think, man, I want to get this, I'd love to have this. And we need goals in life. And many of you are thinking, man, I'd like to do it, I just don't have the capital right now. You know what, go check it out anyway. And maybe print out a picture and like put it on your wall or on your car and your wallet or your laptop or whatever. And remember, you know, when you think about spending some money that maybe you shouldn't, you say, you know what, I'm going to start saving up for this. And I'm going to get myself a quality instrument from Koleto Guitars. Now, we're going to give you some incentive too. Promo code BSR. Wanted to keep it simple. BSR, you know it well. That gets you a 10% discount off their already low price. It gets you free shipping. It gets you no sales tax unless you live in the great state of Texas. And they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund based on your purchase price. It is a win, win, win. You get a high-quality instrument or accessories at a discount. Koleto Guitars, a Mississippi state-owned and operated business, gets some more Bulldog business. And then Mississippi State wins because of that donation to the Excellence Fund, right? You can't beat it. Koleto Guitars. All right. Now, you guys that have listened to this show for a long time, you understand what a huge fan I am of Amy Lee. Amy Lee, of course, the voice of Evanescence. When I first saw Amy Lee's video, the very first one, Bring Me Back to Life, I thought she was my ex-girlfriend, Beth. They could be sisters. Same color eyes, same shape face, same kind of curly hair, except Amy Lee's hair is jet black. Beth's is a little more dishwater blonde, but you know what? They make dye. And so when I first saw that, I thought, am I seeing a ghost here? Track her down, reach around, and say, hey, is this you? No, that's not me, but I've gotten a lot of people to ask me, right? So I guess maybe I've dated Amy Lee's doppelganger, maybe. But all that I understood, Amy Lee, of course, was born out in Riverside, California, moved around, but was raised in Little Rock, Arkansas. And it's still just amazing to me that we had this Victorian Gothic beauty growing up in Little Rock, Arkansas, of all places. All due respect, Little Rock. But you just didn't expect that. Like, it's so much out of culture. And if you know her story, like, she got picked on a little bit when she was young because she dressed a little bit different. But she embraced her individuality as a teenager. And she actually formed Evanescence when she was 13 years of age. And then her and Ben Moody, of course, became great friends. And then they had different influences. And eventually they put together a great album for us with The Fallen. And that ended that. And then, of course, Open Door became kind of an album that was about Amy and her own struggles. And then the third album was self-titled because it was just about the band, right? So it was initially Ben and Amy's vision, then it was just Amy. And she said after taking a bit of a hiatus, she felt like this doesn't need to be just about me. Now, she's done some solo stuff too. But I thought today we would celebrate the wonderfully talented Amy Lee's collaborations, many of which you may not know. And if you love Evanescence and you love Amy Lee, and you should know these. Now, some of these are off the beaten path a little bit. And that's what I do for you, right? Because I love you. I do. Number 10, from across the Pacific, from Japan, it's the Wagaki band, Sakura Rising. Now, it is in traditional Japanese language, and then there's Amy singing the backup, and she kind of becomes more prominent later. It's a beautiful song, though, and it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different, which I think says a lot about Amy Lee, too. Number 9, the band is Cellogram. It's a little bit, I can't remember the name of the band, Apocalyptica. They're a little bit like that. But it's all about Anna, and it's a very different song. But you get this haunting vocal. It's almost like Amy Lee is a ghost or something. All right, number 8, Verdia. Now, Amy sings a little bit of backup, but she plays the piano here. And she put this thing together, helped compose this song after her brother Robbie died. And if memory serves me correct, she was from a family of 6, and she's had 2 or 3 siblings die. A couple at very young ages. And And so anyway, that she said this song was very cathartic for her. And the title of the track is I'll Never Be Ready. It is a beautiful, sad song. And it's basically about knowing that you're going to lose someone. And it's like, I'll never be ready to tell you goodbye, ever. I'll never, ever, ever be ready. And we all have lived those moments, right? And there's sometimes, you know, when you've got a loved one that has fought a good fight and finished the course, right? It's almost a relief, but it's still a loss. But there are other times when it just kind of, you know, you just think to yourself, I cannot lose this person. And ultimately you do. But I understand that sentiment. I have lived it many times in my life. I'll never be ready. And it's probably a very beautiful, poignant song that you have never heard. Number 7. Now this is a wild one. And this is kind of a COVID project too. It's from Bring Me the Horizon. Now that post-human survival horror EP that they released and recorded it during COVID, there's an incredible song on there that, again, has this very haunting quality to it. The title, very verbose, one day the only butterflies left will be in your chest as you march towards your death. That's the title of the song, affectionately known as Butterflies. But I love that album. It's an EP. I love it. I absolutely love it. I still jam it to this day, 6 years later almost. And anyway, I dig that track. It's not my favorite one on the album, but it is very good. Number 6, Lindsey Stirling, again, very interesting, eclectic type sound. There's a lot of violin in this. And again, the vocals kind of play off of each other, but Amy is the shining star in my estimation. It's Love Goes On and On by Lindsey Stirling. And again, a song that you probably don't even know. Number 5, many of you have become Hailstorm fans because of this show. Hailstorm did the song Break In featuring Amy Lee. There is a version without Amy. The one with Amy is better, and how could it not be? I think you're going to dig that because Lizzie Hale and Amy Lee, just there's a little more grit in Lizzie's voice and then that operatic quality in Amy Lee's voice. It just kind of pairs well together. Number 4, a surprise collaboration here that maybe you're not as familiar with. From an actor and rapper that you are familiar with, but maybe you didn't realize that Body Count with Ice-T was still doing music. They are. They did a collaboration with Amy Lee. Very odd pairing, but I really dig it. I do, because I like Body Count, and it's When I'm Gone. And basically, it's kind of one of those reminders that your good friend and host gives you. Tell me while I'm alive what I mean to you. Right? You know, one of the things, and this, I hate to sound negative, bitter, and resentful. One of the things that I despise that humans do from time to time is someone will die and someone else who was very loosely affiliated with them will try to level jump. It's like, oh, everybody out here is sad about this person dying. Let me see if I can make this about me, right? I'll give you a good example of that. When I was a teenager, I lost my friend Mike Cook to a car accident. Mike grew up in my neighborhood. His dad had a restaurant in Columbia Joe's that was great. And Mike was a guy that was a little bit tortured at times. And Mike had a car accident out racing. And we lost him in an instant. And they basically closed the school down. I mean, like everybody was checking out, going to the school. And Mike had been in my life for most of my life. And I just didn't know him from school. I knew him from the neighborhood. I knew him as a guy that came to my house and watched TV with us. And he was a couple years older than me, but he turned me on to Ozzy and Motley and Quiet Riot. And he was my friend. And there were so many people that checked out of school to go to his funeral that not only did he not know, but there were people he didn't like. And I'm never going to, you know, discourage somebody for paying their last respects, but I thought people use it as a half day. And I thought it was disrespectful. That's just my feeling. You know, I never know other people's intentions, but it bothered me that people just saw this as an excuse to get out of school. And many of them didn't even come to the funeral. They just checked out of school and went home. And There's a part of me that thinks Mike may have liked that aspect of it. Yeah, that people just got out of school to, you know. But anyway, I miss him. I do. I miss him. And I hadn't thought about him in a long time. But I wanted to share that with you. That's one of those things that kind of bothers me. And maybe I'm too sensitive. Number three, a recent collaboration from Poppy, who also did some work with Bad Omens here recently, Amy Lee, and then Courtney LaPlante. The track is End of You. And it's kind of one of these women empowerment type songs, like moving on from a relationship and that kind of stuff. So some of you, it may scratch you where you itch, right? Number two, kind of along those lines, you know, because we have a generation of young ladies singing Halsey's Bad at Love, when many of them really, you know, they don't even know what it's about. It's like everybody wants to be bad at love. It's an excuse for me to live through my, you know, whatever phase. And I don't know. You love what you love. But, you know, again, be careful of what you're repeat. People are impressionable, right? And so all of a sudden you hear this, like, over and over and over again. It's like, well, and I'm not for censorship. Don't get me wrong. I think you have to, like, that's a self thing. You've got to figure that out yourself. But it's amazing how you listen to some, like, you listen, put on some tracks, man. Next thing you know, you listen to enough of it. Next thing you know, you want to, like, you know, put on a black hat and move out to Compton. You know what I'm saying? It's like that music has that kind of power of you that, yay, it can jack you up. It can also beat you down. But this is a great track. And I like Halsey. I love that. I love 7 Minutes Away that she did with Youngblood. Oh, it's great. It's that guitar tone is great. But Hand That Feeds, I think you're going to dig it. I can't remember what movie soundtrack that's from. Oh, yeah, it's John Wick, The Ballerina something. It's one of the John Wick movies. The Hand That Feeds, it's not a cover of the Nine Inch Nails song. It's all by itself. And Halsey and Amy Lee are great together. They truly are. But number one, best collaboration. Many of you already know it. And it's Amy Lee and the Pet Shop. No, it's not the Pet Shop Boys. It's Amy Lee and Seether with Broken. Because, you know, she was unofficially a part of that band as the girlfriend. And so there's the original version of Broken, and then there's the one featuring Amy Lee. I think the one with Amy Lee is better. I think she adds a little more depth to it. And I love the song Either Way. I love Seether. One of the best shows I've ever seen in my lifetime. Every time I go see Seether, I walk away feeling like, man, those guys gave me 100%. Love them. And last time we saw them was with Three Doors Down. God rest Brad's soul. But that's the best collaboration in my estimation. So, again, we get a stack of recommendations that kind of pile up after a while, and Evanescence is one of those. People forget, or they're new to the show or whatever. So I thought we would celebrate the wonderful Amy Lee, who is so beautiful and so talented, and I think in many respects a great role model for people maybe from, you know, small town, or you know, maybe a different way of doing things, right? She, like, was kind of the outsider in Little Rock. She was a California girl that was a classically trained pianist, and she just didn't fit culturally, right? And that's not anything negative about Little Rock, right? But I think it shows that no matter where you are, you can let your light shine. And in some ways, you kind of get refined in the fire, right? Because it makes you even prouder to be an individual and prouder of who you are. And I think Amy Lee is a heroine in that respect. I love her. I love her music. And I love her story. We have a mutual friend that I've shared before. I would love to meet her at some point. At some point. Some point hasn't come yet. But I would love to meet her. I'd love for Dana and I to have a chance to go to a show or just even go get coffee. Would absolutely love to meet her. And love to tell the story about Beth, too, and show her a picture. And she'd probably be shocked. Shocked. But nevertheless, I thought, again, we celebrate the music of Amy Lee. And I think in many, many respects, she is the best rock vocalist of my lifetime. Her or Lizzie Hale. I would say probably Amy Lee, though. Amy's got a little more range. She doesn't do the gritty stuff like Lizzie Hale does. That's why it's so cool to me that they work together on a project. So we hope to make your list come a reality. But sometimes we modify it just a little bit to kind of satisfy you without duplicating without reason. So if you have a suggestion for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do it is to hit up Roy Samanthi, my friend, on X at Dogmatic67. You can find our great list on Spotify. We're up to date right now, too. I told you, Roy, we get it done. We're up to date. You can find it on Spotify, or you can find it on my or Roy's X. Of course, I'm on all forms of social media, at Scout Steve R. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart, and why? Well, they got the stuff we want, right? We're not complicated people. When it's time to buy us a birthday gift, an anniversary gift, a Christmas gift, Valentine's Day gift, Amerigo Vespucci Day gift, whatever the cause may be, just buy us Mississippi State stuff. You can get us a quarter zip, get us a hoodie. You can get us something to put on the wall, some, you know, art decor, whatever. We're not ever going to complain about somebody buying us Mississippi State stuff, right? Don't overthink it. Don't get too cute with it. Well, it's like, well, I know they love Mississippi State. Well, let me go see if I can't buy that. Don't. They're never going to tell you, but they're going to be a little bit disappointed. They'll appreciate the effort, but then when you don't see them wear that item ever, you'll wonder why. And I'm telling you ahead of time, it's because you bought them something they didn't really want. Everybody's like, but Steve, no, but you. I'm telling you the truth. Be the best gift buyer, and I am an elite gift buyer. The people in my family, especially my wife, can tell you I'm very thoughtful. Maybe you're not. But I'm saving you a lot of time, effort, and grief by just saying, go to Campus Bookmart and buy some Mississippi State stuff. You can't go wrong by doing right. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, you get a phrase that pays. That's BSR. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Lots of new arrivals of Mississippi State baseball stuff. And if there's one thing in the last couple of years that you can be really excited about, it's Mississippi State baseball, especially this year. So maybe it's time to upgrade that M over S cap. Maybe get a new jersey. The kids are always, they're growing like weeds, man. Don't let them go up there with an undersized jersey. Don't do it. Don't do it. Get them a brand new one from Campus Bookmart. All right. Men's basketball tournament continues. We're not a part of it, but let's update it just a little bit. We'll talk about some other basketball stuff. As you guys know, we lost by 18. The first game, Kentucky knocked off LSU. And again, some talk about LSU maybe not making a coaching change this year, which is weird to me. And somebody says they're just not really in an NIL position to make a coaching change. What I interpret that to mean is that they're not going to be able to make the rev share or the NIL commitment to give a great coach a chance to be successful in men's basketball at LSU right now. They're over-leveraged, as we've discussed before. Everybody's got one sport they kind of got a sag on, right? Well, they're not going to do it at football. Nobody is, because football takes care of everything else. But with the money that's committed to baseball and the money that's committed to women's basketball, something's got to give. It's men's basketball. And the fact that they keep McMahon kind of confirms that point for it. That's the exclamation point on that statement. If they keep him, it means they're just not in a position to make a coaching change to bring in a very attractive candidate. Everybody out there says, well, just go spend the money. There is a finite number of resources, despite what you may think. Everybody out there can't just go hire a sitting head coach, right? And you go back and you look what they've done historically, and now Woodard's gone, right? Scott's gone. There's a new sheriff in town. They're not going to go out there and mortgage their future trying to win right now in men's basketball when they're winning big and just about everything else. I know Brian Kelly was a disappointment, but, you know, that was a huge move. Getting Kim Mulkey, huge move. Jay Johnson, huge move. And LSU baseball got back to being LSU baseball when Jay Johnson got a 225 area code, phone number. Yeah, things changed, right? So, and I think in some respects, Scott has been unfairly maligned. He did a good job at LSU. And they're people are beating him up about the Brian Kelly contract. Man, he did what he had to do. He gave Brian Kelly every opportunity, and it didn't work out. And then it cost Scott his job. But Scott did a great job hiring people. And sometimes you got to make deals that maybe are a little bit one-sided in favor of your coach to get him to go there. So I think LSU's not going to go do a high leverage deal. And, you know, we may wake up tomorrow and McMahon's fired. I don't know. But there's some chatter. They may keep him for another year. Mark Pope and Kentucky, they win that game. Then they go on to play Missouri. And we feel like Missouri's in, right? Sure. Well, Kentucky beats them in an 8-9 game. And now Kentucky, on Friday at noon, will take on Florida. That may prove to be pretty interesting. You know, Florida's a great team. But it's SEC tournament time. A lot of people want Mark Pope going to Kentucky. You win that game, you've kind of got a clear shot, I think, to get to Sunday. Of course, Auburn beats us, and then they go on to play Tennessee and lose by 10. I think Tennessee's one of the more athletic teams in the conference. Of course, very well coached. They will take on Vanderbilt tomorrow. Of course, it's the first game of the tournament for the double bye teams like Florida, Vanderbilt, Alabama, and Arkansas. But Tennessee and Vandy, that's the afternoon matinee game on Friday. Maybe you watch that ahead of watching the Diamond Dogs play. Ole Miss making a run in this thing. Ole Miss takes down Texas. Ole Miss, of course, the 15 seed in the tournament. Chris Beard's done a good job in the tournament. Terrible year, but they figured some things out. They're fighting for their lives, obviously. They need to win the tournament. Well, they take down Texas, and you know that was somewhat personal for Beard. They get them by 10. Well, they just knocked off Georgia. Yeah, that just happened moments ago. So now Ole Miss, with two wins under their belt, will take on a very fresh Alabama team, 6 p.m. Central on Friday. You guys will be watching baseball. Maybe you keep up with it on Twitter. Roll Tide. Game number four yesterday, Oklahoma takes care of South Carolina, 86-74. And there's already some reports out there that South Carolina is going to keep Lamont Paris. I think a lot of this, again, kind of like the LSU situation, right? If you can't go out there and give a new coach a war chest to work with, you're going to end up with a substandard coach. Because anybody worth their salt, it's like, I'm not going to the meat grinder of the SEC when everybody else can outspend me. You expect me to go out there and get SEC caliber results with Sun Belt resources for men's basketball? And maybe that's an exaggeration. But again, you look at South Carolina. Like everybody else, something has to give. They're over-leveraged on women's basketball because they're competing for national championships. Why do you think baseball's suffering a little bit? Right? Wasn't too long ago South Carolina won back-to-back national championships in baseball. Look what's happened over the last decade. Right? You can't be good at everything. You can't be. And especially in the rev share era, when you got to go out there and recruit a roster, there are going to be what some consider niche sports. Like right now, do you honestly believe that you could beat South Carolina, Texas, or LSU head-to-head for a recruit on women's basketball? I mean, honest to goodness. Do you really think you could? I would suggest no, because they're going to have more rev share money to work with. They're going to have some NIL deals. I suspect the South Carolina NIL deals are probably the best in the country. And so you're going to play with everybody else. So the superstars are going to gravitate there. On the flip side, do you think South Carolina can beat us for a baseball recruit right now? I would say no. Now, Texas, obviously, is Texas, right? So, yeah, we're going to go head-to-head with them a lot. We're going to win some. They're going to win some. Same thing with LSU. Do you think Missouri can beat us for a baseball recruit? No. Can we beat them for a men's basketball recruit, though? Right? So everybody's got a little something. But Oklahoma wins that game 86-74. And the nightcap tonight, Oklahoma and A&M will play. The winner will take on Arkansas in the nightcap on Friday. So that's where things sit right now. And, whatever for Ole Miss. I don't want them to ever have anything good to feel about, but, hey, they've won a couple of games. If we were in that situation and won a couple of games, you're like, hey, we win three more, we're in the tournament. I think Alabama's going to kill them. But give Chris Beard and his staff a lot of credit for kind of keeping things rolling, right? But that's your basketball update. And again, I'm still hearing some chatter that if offered the opportunity to play in the BIT, the Mississippi State women will accept, and there's a good chance they host if things go kind of the way we expect. So it's not my feelings, but hey, if they're going to play, we're going to cover it, and we're going to hope for the best. At the end of the day, too, I'm a competitor, too. So if I was a coach or a player, I would want to continue playing. Even if I didn't make the tournament, I would want to continue playing. I wouldn't be too proud to do that, honestly. But if I was an administrator, I would say we need to get it in there. We got to find a way to keep our freshmen here. And maybe that's part of it, right? Maybe keeping them engaged, keeping them around the coaching staff as people kind of begin to reach out, kind of doing some pre-portal type work. Maybe that's the move. Maybe it's not so much about winning the game as it is kind of winning the roster battle. So that's something to consider too. And that was a big part of football this past year, having a bowl game instead of guys being at home and fielding phone calls all day, every day. They were around their teammates, around their coaches, and while we didn't win the bowl game, we were able to keep our roster intact. So that's an aspect of roster management that maybe the casual fan finds elusive at times. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially when you're bringing a large group to town. We've stayed there. We had a blast. We were there New Year's of 25. My mom, stepdad came up. All the grandkids were there. All the kids were there. The great-grands were there for my mom. And we had everybody under one roof. And she still talks about that trip. Wants to know when we're going to do it again. Well, we will at some point. But the reality of that is this. This facility is available to you and your guest 365 days a year, provided it's not booked, right? So the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, Google that. Their Facebook page will pop up, and you can look at all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests. And to be honest, the pictures don't do it justice. It's not like it's a professional photographer that went in there and shot these things, right? It's just somebody with a camera phone went out there and put these things together for you. It's even better than advertised. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you're going to see there's a lot of things available to you, right? First off, plenty of parking. When you're getting a large group together, you don't consider that aspect of it. No worries, plenty of parking for you and all your guests. Safety, right? In addition to that, full-service kitchen, the wet bar, that incredible back porch area. Sit out there, have a glass of wine, watch the sunset. Beautiful. Or get up in the morning, watch the sunrise with a cup of coffee. That fire pit area, which, hey, it's chilly this weekend. You probably could enjoy that. Six bedrooms, two, soon to be three baths. So much room for everybody to kind of spread out. So it's a family trip, college roommates weekend trip, or maybe a work retreat. This is the place for you. Instead of having everybody scattered all over the county in hotels and Airbnbs, be under one roof. Now, part of that Google search is going to be some booking options. You can book through Airbnb, you can book through VRBO, whatever your jam is, right? But if you want to save some money, promo code BSR10, Beautiful Steve Robertson 10, BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay by booking through the Evolve website. Use that promo code, save some money off a historic weekend with your family or your friend group. Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none. A little PSA here too. I love all of you, but some of you make my head hurt. and I mean that with as much love as I can muster. Over the course of the last 24 hours, multiple Mississippi State people on Facebook shared a fake post about Ace Reese getting an $8 million bonus from Mississippi State and donating it all to a homeless shelter. Everything about that is wrong. We didn't give Ace Reese an $8 million bonus, and he didn't give it to a homeless shelter. Earlier today, just moments ago, I was surprised of a social media post making the rounds about a Mississippi State female swimmer doing a, quote, cheeky photo shoot. Number one, I believe in women's rights and women empowerment. If a girl wants to get out there and post a picture of her in a revealing outfit, that's her right to do so. It's also your right to go and peruse that content if you choose to. Guys, we don't have a swimming team. We don't have a swimming team. The same picture made the rounds of her in a Penn State swimsuit and a BYU swimsuit just yesterday. I'm asking you to use some common sense and some discretion. It's just like we had the discussion about Dak a while back, right? Where Dak had bought a restaurant so his favorite waitress could have a job. Completely false. Dak had given a big bonus and started some treatment center. Completely false. Guys, do you really think that like Biz Sports 567 would break that news? Don't you think ESPN would break that news, or Fox Sports, or a reputable media entity? People just see stuff and they just share it. And what you're doing, these people are making these fake posts, hoping that you will share it because they have monetized their accounts, and you share it, and then more people share it, or they comment, and these clowns profit off your naivety. Please stop doing this. Please stop doing this. You're only encouraging more fake news. The account, let me give you a couple of these accounts. The Starkville Diamond Hub, if you're following that account, unfollow it. It's fake. It'll post these pictures. Give me a yes if you like Mississippi State baseball. It seems benign, but it's somebody typically in a foreign country putting that out there. And you put yes, right? Well, then they make money off that. What have you gained by doing that? And you'd say, but Steve, what have we lost? Maybe your common decency? And then it was a post earlier. I can't see where it was. But anyway, it's another one of these scammer accounts on Facebook. Stop doing it. Stop feeding the madness. Please, for the love of God and all that is holy, please stop sharing that nonsense. Drives me crazy. All right, let's look ahead to the first SEC baseball weekend. I swear. All right, availability report is out too. Mississippi State's got everybody healthy, which I don't know why William Kirk's not listed, but nevertheless. Tennessee is at Georgia. That's going to be a big series. I favor Georgia in this one because they're at home and they know how the ballpark plays. Now, Tennessee has some power, but Tennessee's pitching has not maybe been what people expected. I like Georgia to take the series. Alabama's at Kentucky. I'm not sold on Alabama. I don't think that outside of Justin LeBron, they have a star on this team. I don't know that Kentucky has a star on their team, but I know Nick Mangione. I know that Nick will find a way to steal a couple of runs somehow, some way, whether it's a bunt and run or a double steal or a U-trip play or stealing home as I open a Coke Zero. I just don't think – I think Alabama is at best middle of the pack. I think Kentucky is about a half step better, and I'm going to take Kentucky to take the series. South Carolina's got to go to Florida. Now, if Florida had been better last weekend, I might be forecasting a sweep here. I just don't know that Carolina is, number one, ready for the road. I also don't know if Florida is completely ready for SEC play. You know, so I like the Gators in a split here. But what's so interesting is anything can happen in baseball, right? And anytime teams are around us that have the opportunity to be a host – like, I'm rooting against them. Like, South Carolina has no chance, right? They're going to have a losing record. So, like, anything they take from Florida is a great thing. Gamecocks are 12-6 right now. 12-6. And as we discussed on yesterday, sure, they lost to the Citadel. Now, that's after a three-game sweep of Princeton. But come on, right? Yeah, you go back and look at all this stuff, too. I mean, it's just like South Carolina. You talk about a weak non-conference schedule. They have it. It's terrible. But I think Florida is good enough pitching-wise. And, of course, Brendan Lawson is a star at Florida. Nobody really talks about hitting 421 with 9 jacks, 26 RBI. I think he's in line for a good weekend. Auburn is going to Missouri. I would love for Missouri to get a game. I just don't think they can. I think a lot of this is false confidence with Missouri. They're 15-2 for sure. They may be able to scratch one out, but I think, you know, Butch has got those guys pitching pretty well. They found a little bit of offense. I think Auburn goes to Missouri and at worst wins a series, but I think there's a good chance they sweep and Missouri comes back to earth. But, again, I'd love for Missouri to take a game because, again, Auburn's in contention with us for that top eight national seed. They were top eight last year. But this is a great way to start if you're Auburn. LSU is at Vanderbilt. I've shared with you guys a couple times this week. I don't like Vanderbilt. And that's not me. I don't like Vanderbilt. I don't like the construction of this team. A lot of people said that pitching would carry them. Guys, they got seven losses. And then you get an LSU team coming in that lost a series to Sacramento State. It's a kind of a come-to-Jesus week for LSU. And I got some friends down there still that work for a university, and they say, well, you know, we'll figure it out. I'm like, guys, just relax. You're going up there with these power hitters from the left side. There's the short porch in right field. I think the park plays to your strengths. I think LSU pitching is good enough to keep them in games, and I think once LSU gets into that bullpen, I think they win the road series. I don't like LSU to split. I think they take 2 of 3. I believe your Bulldogs are going to take 2 of 3 from Arkansas, too. We'll get to Ole Miss and Texas now. Texas 16-0. Ole Miss 15-3. And just a few days ago, they were all crying that they should have been ranked, and they got beat again. And, you know, I think this Ole Miss offense is really good. The issue they're going to have, because they're hunting the fastball, is when guys can throw spin for strikes. That's going to be the problem. And, you know, Slosh and those guys are going to have good pitching. You just know it. And it's a very athletic roster. And it's not like – so Texas, obviously, like everybody else, I mean, you played kind of some forgettable games early on. Like they got UC Davis, had some competitive games, I guess one competitive game. And then, you know, they just blast Lamar, and then they get through Michigan State with a sweep, a couple competitive games there. They get Texas Rio Grande Valley. They go to the Bruce Bolt College Classic. It wasn't a star-studded field, but they took care of business. You get a wounded Coastal team. You get Baylor. You get Ohio State, and Ohio State still struggling. That's Ole Miss's biggest win, a win over Ohio State. They get Houston Christian, Mercy Rule game, USC Upstate, Mercy Rule game. There's an 11-9 game in the middle, and then guess what happens on Sunday? They mercy rule them again, right? They get Texas State 15-4, and now you get Ole Miss. So they're getting great pitching. They're getting offense. They're one of the more complete teams in the country. And I remember so many people early in the year wanted to hate on Texas. And when you look at what they had coming back, you look at who's filling out the lineup card, and you look at what they did in the portal – you had to believe Texas was going to be in contention to get to Omaha. And even when they were ranking the top five, people were like, well, I just don't see it. Well, now you're seeing it. And I think Ole Miss is going to see it this weekend. I really like Texas to take this series. I would not be surprised if they swept. I think Ole Miss's best chance is with Hunter Elliott, who should be a doctor by now, pitching on Friday. But I think, again, kind of the reality tour is happening to Ole Miss. I really do. I think Ole Miss, their expectations, I think, will get dashed a little bit this weekend. They could surprise me. I'm just not expecting it. I think it's going to be difficult to go out there and play home run derby with Texas. Probably a sneaky good series. Texas A&M and Oklahoma. That's at Kimry Family Stadium. They're going to do some renovations in the years to come there. It is not on par with the rest of the SEC venues from a fan amenity standpoint. Looks great from the outside, not so much from the inside, right? It's not very developed. They just haven't been committed to baseball. But A&M is ranked 22 with a 15-1 record, and partially because they have played nobody. But, man, they're raking. They are. Oklahoma, always going to have solid pitching. I don't know if they have maybe a shutdown guy, but I think they do a good enough job, and Skip Johnson does such a good job developing and maturing pitchers there. I think I'm going to go with Oklahoma to take the series. I think that's how I feel. I think it could go either way. This is the one that I'm probably the most split upon. I like Kentucky-Alabama series from an entertainment standpoint. I think this one is going to be a fun one. I haven't looked at the wind patterns at Oklahoma. You know, we went out there and played a wild ball game where the wind was blowing out, and it just felt like, you know, it was a church league softball game. You may have that too, because you know, the weather that we're expected to get in Arkansas on Sunday, obviously has got to pass through Oklahoma at some point too. So could be a windy day Saturday and potentially on Sunday in Norman, which could mean some very high scoring games. And I think the team with the better pitching wins those games. So we'll see what happens. But again, right now, and again, we're all just kind of learning who's got what. My winners are Georgia, Kentucky, Florida, Auburn, LSU, Mississippi State, Texas, and Oklahoma. Most of those are homestanding teams. But you got to think about getting a big road series win this early in the schedule, how beneficial that is for every team that is fighting for the opportunity to host. And again, we're right where we thought we'd be and expected to be and hoped to be. And now we get a chance right now. Like I've read people say, well, Steve, we're going to find out what we got this weekend. Well, you told me that 2 weekends ago. You told me that when we went to Arlington and we went toe-to-toe with the number one team in the country and should have won the game. Right? We won 2 out of 3 that weekend. We knocked off an incredibly hot Arizona State team. Knocked off Virginia Tech, who will be a solid, you know, mid-level ACC team or whatever they're in now. And then we should have beat UCLA. And so we're still kind of learning to win some of those big games, obviously. But with our offense, you just kind of give it some time. Ask Tulane. It's like all of a sudden you're feeling great. Oh, Mississippi State's down in 9 outs. We got 5 runs. Let's get out of here. And then you lose by 4, right? And I think that's the real challenge for Arkansas. What happens when Mississippi State gets into the bullpen? What happens then? Right? And if you have a Friday night game, because everybody's going to go all in and win on Friday, but it's a close nip and tuck type game, that could handicap you on Sunday. And that's where I think Mississippi State's offensive depth, because you heard me go over the numbers for Arkansas's offense. Guys, it's not close. Mississippi State offensively is much better. Now, can Mississippi State be better on the pitching side? You better believe it. But our starters match up well with their starters. I'm not the least bit worried about that aspect of it. I think that's one of the things you look at and you begin to kind of ask yourself, you know, what really matters this time of year? Well, winning baseball is what matters. You can't go out there and walk the ballpark and you can't boot the baseball around. We've done a pretty good job with both of those. But if you look at the walk numbers, even for Duke, who had some hit-by-pitches, and you look at what Ryan McPherson and Tomas Valenkis are doing, I think you feel like, hey, we got a real good chance on Friday and Saturday. And then in Game 3, it may boil down to who has the better offense. So I could see us winning one, dropping one, winning one. But I think we take the series. I really think that's the case. But I want to real quickly look at the availability report. Just because we don't have anybody on it. Again, I'm not sure why William Kirk's not on there. But I guess because maybe the news is already public. I don't know what we're thinking there. But he's not going to play. I mean, like, you get fined if you say a guy's out and then he plays, right? So we're not playing games with that. But nobody out in the Tennessee-Georgia series. In the Alabama-Kentucky series, the Tide is going to be without Sam Christensen. It's been there a long time. Outfielder Coleman Mizell and pitcher Owen Sama. Kentucky's down a couple of pitchers, Chase Alderman and Bryson Treichel. In the South Carolina-Florida series, the Gamecocks are out Reese Moore and pitcher Jake McCoy. And that's not news. Jake McCoy obviously was expected to be a big part of their weekend. Cade Kirwan, he's a guy that's been banged up for feels like 3 years. He's out this weekend, and pitcher Ricky Reith is also out. Nobody out for your Bulldogs other than William Kirk. Arkansas has pitcher Carson Wiggins out. And then pitcher James DeCremer is questionable. He has been a midweek guy for them. And then outfielder Zach Stewart is probable. Dave Van Horn said he was about 85% earlier today. Out for Auburn is Eddie Madrigal and then pitcher Griffin Graves. And then Missouri is out Garrick Goldback and Ben Smith. And then an infielder Chris Patterson is questionable. LSU has nobody out. Vanderbilt got a host of guys out. Got 4 pitchers out. Matthew Shorey, Miller Green, Adria, Kolasabi, England Bryan, all out. And three of those four wear numbers in the 90s. I think it's a weird tradition. Kind of like them calling themselves the Vandy Boys. That's lame. Pitcher Austin Nye is questionable. And then Colin Bartsey is the catcher. And he is also questionable. A&M and Oklahoma. Caden McCoy out for the Aggies. Outfielder Wesley Jordan is probable. Oklahoma's Caden Brumbaugh is out, and Briscoe Smith, a pitcher, is out. Ole Miss has nobody out, and then Texas will be without catcher Preswin Corvelli or Corvier, depending on where you're from, and then pitcher Michael Winter, and then questionable is outfielder Jonah Williams. So a few guys out there kind of beat up, kind of banged up, and anybody that's listed probable or questionable still has a chance to play. There will not be an update, and we'll run this as a regular feature on Thursday nights for free over at Gene's page, just to kind of give you a little context. But yeah, we're going to get the show up. Story will run in the overnight, and then I'll be on the road Friday morning. I'm not going to get up early, but I'm going to get up and go. I'm going to pack a bag tonight, and we'll take care of the dogs. We'll hit the road, and then we'll see you all in Fayetteville. And for all you Bulldogs making the trip out there, safe travels. And for those of you staying home and watching a lot of college baseball on TV or perhaps some SEC men's basketball tournament, hey, wish you guys the best this weekend. And many of you are listening to this show on Friday. I hope it's a payday for you. Get out and do some nice things with your family. But it's been such a productive stretch for us. And, you know, it's always tax time too, right? You get, you know, that always part of the deal, right? One of our most profitable years ever. And very grateful for all of you for your support of us over at jeanspage.com. I have an amazing crew. And we make the effort to go because we understand the importance and the privilege that we have to be your eyes and ears. And it's not a hobby for us, right? It's a job. Now, it's our passion, but it's a job. We have responsibility to you to be there. And one of the things, when I had this meeting last year with some people in communications, I said, guys, I just think our fans deserve to hear from our coach and our players after a road game. That's incredibly important to me. If we go, like we beat Vanderbilt and Hunter Hines hit that big dramatic home run, you needed to hear from Hunter. And he, listen, he's not the greatest guy on camera. Really didn't like doing media. But you needed to hear from him, right? We had the big comeback win on Tuesday against Tulane. You needed to hear from Ace Reese about that grand slam. If we're not there, you're not hearing about it. And so media has changed because the media viewer and consumer has changed, right? So it's important that Mississippi State gets covered on the same level that many other programs do. And when it comes to Mississippi State baseball, nobody covers a college baseball program as intensely as we do. We take it very, very seriously. We are a baseball school that loves football. And we kind of have a, you know, up and down relationship with basketball. We're kind of fair weathered. I mean, I admit that. But the reality of it is we want to be there, but we want to be there for you too. It'd be easy for us just to go to the ball game, buy a hot dog, and to sit there for our own enjoyment. But it's a work trip for us, and a lot of hours go into it. And it's so interesting, like when Jacob Bain began to travel with me for baseball, he's not going this weekend, he didn't realize all the things we had to do after the game. Not just the regular post-game stuff. We got to get back and get everything ready for the morning because it's a quick turnaround. We can't afford to, like, sleep in until 10 o'clock. You guys are getting up on Saturday morning, Sunday morning. You want to know what's going on with baseball. So we have to do all that. It's not just, hey, we're going to go take a trip and go hang out with other guys that we know in the media industry and go out and have a steak dinner. It's not like that. I can't count how many times I've had to get DoorDash Whataburger at, like, 1 in the morning. But I talk about it like it's a burden. It's not. It's a blessing. And I hope that whether you're a subscriber or not, that you will consume your Mississippi State sports coverage from jeanspage.com now and in the years to come. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. You get signed copies of all of my sports titles. We've had a couple big orders here as of late. I will be headed down to Madison on Monday next week. And got a lot of personalizations we got to do. We'll get all that stuff done for you and get those books out. If you don't need it personalized, they'll ship it out pretty much the next day. So that's obviously Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, The Dude, and, of course, the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. Already working on our third year. It's pretty crazy. It turned two last month, so we're already in year three. Crazy. And thank you so much for your support. Dana has worked diligently to make that a great place for you guys to relax. A bit of a safe space, I guess we could say. But it's really more of a fortress of solitude. You can come in there and relax. And even if you don't know much about it, you can visit truerest.com and learn more, or you can call Dana directly at 662-268-7601 to get more information about floating. Follow us on social media. We have a lot of student athletes who float with us too, and that's one of the reasons we did this, to make these recovery methods available to them. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. Simple as that, right? And that's always a good gift idea too. The gift of Jeans Page, the books, the floats. We give you a lot of opportunities, right? Just to, if you want to get something a little bit unique that somebody that you think would love, this is it, right? St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Maybe buy a gift for somebody you love. And like I sent Dana flowers today, right? I'm going to be gone this weekend, so she's got to deal with everything while I'm gone. And I thought, well, let me give her something sweet, right? But number one, I love her. But also, too, I thought, you know what? I'll be gone this weekend. At least she can know that I thought about her before I left, because it's a lot. It's a lot that we have to deal with. You know, we're empty nesters now, so it all kind of falls to both of us. We're a team. And I hope that you've got a great teammate out there, too. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.